Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 19, and today we are going somewhat far afield and we are going to have fun with gin. This is kind of a new thing for me, and I think for my confreres here.
All of us.
Yeah. So we have several different kinds of gin, and a couple local, and we have a cat that's not happy.
We have a special guest.
He's fine. Yeah. So we'll tell you about them as we come to them. But gin is a distilled liquor that is then flavored with mostly juniper berries, but also other botanicals and other herbs. And unlike scotch or the other kinds of whiskey, they don't give you the mash bill. They don't tell you, oh, this is 30% barley, 40% corn, 10% rye, whatever. You know, they just, it seems that it's usually made from barley, corn, and rye. And other than that, they focus, when they're describing a gin, they focus on what botanicals or what flavorings they're using. So we will get started. Our first gin today is Mortal Gin from Cultus Bay, which is on Whidbey Island in Puget Sound. And it's, I haven't been there, but, excuse me while we remove the cat. But it is a very small distillery that these folks have built in a small boathouse, and the gin smells wonderful, and we will see what it's like now. They also make an Irish whiskey, a vodka, and I think a couple of other things. And you can now buy them at Total Wine. So, yay.
Yeah, Total Wine carries a lot of local and small batch distilleries, yes.
So, we can't start telling you about the color because they're all just crystal clear.
So. Yeah, they're all crystal clear. They all are equal in the crystal clear. I haven't even started drinking yet. It's in anticipation.
Evidently.
Crystal clearness of their appearance.
You're just high on life.
I'm high on life.
Yeah. Okay, now the Mortal Gin smells amazing.
Mm-hmm. Possibly it should be called Immortal Gin.
I know.
After that.
Like it's got all sorts of spices and even maybe a little bit of fruit or something in it.
Hmm.
Mmm.
Interesting.
Now, that's not quite what I expected.
What did you expect?
I don't know. Something maybe a little crisper. This has a softness in it from some of the botanicals or a floral almost.
I feel kind of like I'm drinking an alcoholic tea. It's like something, because it's infused, it's like somebody's just, it's a nice floral tea.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what it was originally developed for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Our chemist friend in Holland.
Our chemist friend, yes. Yeah, that's interesting. You expected to be crisp because of its aroma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It smells crisp. Mm-hmm. But, it's not.
Does it say what style of gin that
No, is? It doesn't. Okay. And what it does say is, if you're looking for a gin that stains your soul and loosens your socks, you just found it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is a pretty good...
I think so.
Pretty good selling point.
I don't know
for
that I want
gin.
My soul stained, but that's all right.
Yeah, but who needs socks?
Yeah,
I mean, socks
true.
Are optional selling.
Yeah, okay.
So, no, this is very tasty. Mm-hmm. There's almost like a softness at the base, like that it's got rose or something floral in it along with the
it does.
More acidic juniper and that sort of thing.
Yes, it definitely has a floral floral flavor. Yes.
And this on a hot summer afternoon with some ice would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which today it is not. It's like 49 degrees.
Yeah,
so
today it's rainy and cold.
Possibly this was not the best choice of day.
Well, you know, when we decided...
But it's nice indoors.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and when we decided to do this, I think it was when we had that, like, 10 70s. Days of false spring.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 70 degrees.
I guess outside. I was just being...
Which 70 degrees here we feel is pretty warm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay,
so next is the Counter Gin from the Batch 206 Distillery in Seattle. And so we have two local gins today. And this distillery opened in 2012. It's an 8,000 square foot distillery. So that sounds like it's bigger than the boathouse from Mortal Gin. And it's located in the Interbay neighborhood of Seattle. And for this counter gin, it's an infusion of 8 botanical ingredients. They don't specify. And it uses high purity grain spirits. So let's see. And they're calling it a New American Gin. And it's supposed to be a good sipping gin. So let us check it out.
It smells good. It's not nearly, you don't get as nearly much botanical or floral as you do from the mortal gin. But it still smells tasty.
Yeah, we may have just, with this the high aroma of mortal gin may have ruined our
we
nose.
Probably should have put that toward the end.
But we did not know. We did not know.
Yeah, this one's definitely more subtle.
It's pretty smooth.
It's very smooth. I love.
This would be good in a martini with a lemon twist.
Yeah, definitely. And it's good for sipping too because it doesn't have that. This is so flavorful. The mortal gin. I'm not sure that I could drink like a glass of it. I don't know.
Maybe.
I guess I could try one day. I'll try. Possibly not today.
And I can't identify which botanicals are in there. And of course, they didn't tell us.
And they don't tell us. So maybe we'll have to call them up.
There are some. They're just a little more.
On the side of the bottle, it says juniper, verbena, tarragon, lavender, cucumber, and orange.
Oh. Wow. Very subtle.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. Very, very subtle. Thank you for reading the bottle, John.
Sure. Anytime.
I think I remember now reading that when we were at the store.
Did.
But. Let's see, and the other things that they make at the 206 distillery, they do a Old Tom. Well, I guess that is the Old Tom counter gin. Sorry, I thought it was a different one. Old Log Cabin bourbon whiskey, Mad Mint vodka. Oh, and then they say counter gin. So they have an Old Tom counter gin and a counter gin.
This is just the plain counter gin.
This is just counter gin. So there's also an Old Tom, and they also have a Batch 206 vodka. So if people want to explore Batch 206 distillery, that sounds like they have a variety. And this is pretty good. I mean, I like it. I don't know a whole lot about gin. I don't typically drink gin. Even for martinis, I typically get a vodka martini. So... My dad was the gin drinker, and he usually just got like the old Beef Eater stuff you could get at the package store on base. So, he wasn't a fancy drinker.
No.
All right.
Well, and I have lately my favorite drink when I go like to Dillinger's for their happy hour. They have a $6 martini that is lovely with gin, and I'm like, oh, I want one of those. So I'm getting kind of.
You're getting experimental, Marlis.
I know. I know.
Marlis is not typically experimental.
No.
Living on the edge.
Yeah.
But
who knew?
That's right.
Okay. But I think that's what has happened to all of us with this podcast is that before we were not adventurous drinkers, we would just always go to the same thing. And I mean, except for with beer, we always like to try different types of beer, but we weren't that way with the more
More expensive
beverages. But this has helped us expand our horizons. It's been kind of fun. So the next one is the one that you picked, John.
Yeah, it's the Hoffland Genever.
Wait. Because we were trying to figure out how to say this. We looked up the pronunciation, and I felt we could not do it justice. So I'm going to play the audio, hopefully.
In Dutch, je neighbor.
Je neighbor.
In Flemish, Genever.
Geneva.
In English, Genever.
Genever.
I'm a believer in Genever.
Okay.
Gezondheid.
So
there we go.
We are believers in Genever. Okay, let's go. Let's see if we really are now that we've said that.
So anyway, this is the Hoffland Genever, and it's, I believe it's 40%. And yes, it is. And it says it's an authentic Dutch Genever with the taste of apple, vanilla, juniper, and orange.
Ooh.
So it's distilled by Hoffland Distillery in Holland.
So you're going to tell us about the Genever style?
The Genever style is it's when they ferment it, it's they use malted grains instead of unmalted grains, which is, it's more, unmalted grains are more common for the English style and some of the other styles, but Geneva was the original style, and they used malted grains, and it typically gives it more color and slightly different flavor than the other styles. This particular one, the Hofland Geneva, is crystal clear.
I was going to say, they missed the boat on the color.
But the original traditional method had more color to it.
Cool.
Okay. And I did read an article, not read an article, I just saw an article, and the first thing it said was, you know, lesson one, Geneva is not gin. But I decided to go no further because they sounded biased. So,
which I thought was funny since they invented it.
Yeah, since this is like the original gin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does smell different. A lot of the gins that I've had, including the first two, have kind of a very light...
floral.
There's like a little bit of alcohol, and then above that, there are notes of all the botanicals. Mm-hmm. This has a more mellow, lower, kind of like... fuller toned, you know.
This is very much more like a whiskey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, now I'm going to taste it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely more like a whiskey. So
it's really nice.
It's more like we're drinking moonshine at the moment. Though not as
good quality.
Good quality moonshine, not your granddaddy's moonshine.
This did not come out of a bathtub, as they say.
Though we did see bathtub gin on the
shelf.
Wow.
Okay.
It's like, the circle is coming around here.
I know.
Yeah,
that was actually one of the things that I read was that because they originally used malted grains, it had more characteristics similar to whiskeys and other types of alcohol like that.
Yeah, this is a very much a mild tasting gin / possibly whiskey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very mild. This would be a great a beginner gin.
I suppose
it's, if you want gin but you don't want the heavy botanicals.
I mean it's got some botanicals in it because you can tell, you know, it's got that mellowness of a whiskey, but it, there's no caramel, there's no oak, there's no, you know, there's none of the usual things that we first look for in a whiskey, but it's tasty. And there's just the hint of the juniper and, you know, some of the, probably some other things too in there, but they're very...
Yeah, one of the common ways that I
this would also be good just with ice. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
One of the common ways of drinking the Geneva was with a glass of beer.
Right.
You'd have a shot of Geneva and then a glass of beer with it.
It's kind of like whiskey with the beer back, I guess. Yeah. So I was looking to see if I had any for them. Yeah, it says a glass of Geneva aromatic apple orange complex is what it says on this particular website. It's currently unavailable for delivery as well.
And our final gin for today
is Esme.
Esme, right.
And that is a French gin. Is that correct, John?
Yes, this is a French gin, and we were at Total Wine and More, and the gentleman who was assisting us told us that this was his favorite, and I haven't tried that yet, but it sounded pretty good.
Yeah, well, and it's just, we have American gin, and we have a Dutch gin, and we have a French gin. So we're just traveling all over the world.
International gin.
Now, this has a very light, but not real sharp
This is produced. This is produced from French wheat, and has and complex flavors and aromas of juniper, citrus peel, and orange blossoms. And it also has infusions of cucumber and rose petals.
Okay.
Sounds very French.
That is lovely. I find it lovely.
Very tasty. Very mild, but it's just a nice,
very
light,
delicate floral essence.
Yeah, I was like rose petals. Sometimes that can be overpowering, but
yeah, but no, it's nice
that
and light.
That is very nice,
clean tasting, along with the, you know, some of the.
Yeah, and it's 40% We bought it in the little itty bitty airplane bottle, so I can't even help you.
I can't look at the bottle. Yeah,
I can't look at the bottle. But well, we were trying to. We got out of Total Wine & More for like less than $40 today. I'm not sure how we managed it. Nothing we bought. So the counter and the Hofland Genever and the airplane bottles were like $3. Genever, yeah. Whatever.
Counter we got at Trader Joe's.
Counter we got at Trader Joe's and it was less than 30, right?
Yeah, it was like 22, mm-hmm. something like that.
And the Hofland Genever was $12.99.
Yeah.
Wow.
And of course the mini bottle of Esme was I think $2.99 or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. It was
really- yeah.
I did read a book where one of the characters, you know, did say that it's good gin is a lot less expensive than good whiskey.
Mm. And it's like, I think we've proved that.
Yes, this is true.
Because none of what we purchased mm-hmm. was that.
And I remember the Esme, I'm pretty sure, was under $25.
Yeah, it wasn't a very expensive one mm-hmm. either. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he's the gentleman at Total Wine & More was saying that he likes to make martinis.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he said something about putting cucumber in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Which this didn't.
It mentioned cucumber.
No, this one doesn't. It was I think it was the counter had the cucumber. So yeah, wow, that was really. We have four very different mm-hmm. gins here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. different drinks.
That's amazing.
Well, and I think the Esme tastes exactly like I would expect a French gin to taste.
Oh yeah,
you know, very delicate, very clean,
mm-hmm.
well blended.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing outstanding or, you know, hitting you over the head or anything, but very tasty.
Yeah, it works well. All the components come together. Wow. It tastes really good.
That is very interesting. So today, like when we do our whiskeys, we always add the drop of water. Well, we didn't want to put just any old water in the gin. That didn't sound right. So we got us some tonic. To add, because, you know, gin and tonic. And we'll see.
If I'm going to mix gin with something, that's usually
it. Yeah, that would probably be what one would do typically, if unless you have a bunch of other stuff to add.
These really do smell good.
Yeah.
Let's see how this...
What'd you do? Give him some gin?
I think Marlis just drugged the cat.
Okay, the Mortal Gin with some tonic.
Not bad, but I don't think it improves it at all. The Mortal Gin had strong enough
mm-hmm.
botanical and floral flavors that I don't think you really want to mess with it a lot.
Yeah.
And a little ice would probably be, if you're going to
mix it. Well, and the tonic does have, you know, some...
Yeah, it does have flavor.
Flavor, so... It did change the flavor mm-hmm. a tad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I actually think I like it a little better with the tonic.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's, again, you know, different...
Mm-hmm.
Taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm.
Counter
gin is still really good, and I like the tonic in it. I don't know that I like it better than plain, but still tasty.
Yeah, I think the gin may not be my thing, but the first two are just a little too chemically for me.
You think the botanicals are chemically.
Yeah, they you know, I'm not used to drinking gin and mm-hmm. I'm not a super big fan, which, you know, so far the Genever, which is more like whiskey, and the
Esme,
which is very mild, are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm. But just so you know, John also thinks when I do my lavender essential oils in our diffuser, he thinks it makes the house smell like chemicals.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of strong florals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also don't like strong perfume. And
no, well, you know, I don't like strong perfume either. Too. That's why I was a little afraid of the rose in the Esme. Yeah. So now we'll try the Hofland.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is just really tasty.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know that the tonic either adds or detracts from it.
And of course, maybe we just didn't add enough tonic either to make a difference.
I mean, it's not like if you're having gin and tonic, you put some gin, and then a lot of tonic. Mm-hmm. So this
isn't. Yeah, but we were just trying to see what it would do. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'm not a big fan of tonic either. So
Oh, I love tonic. Okay, now the Esme.
I will probably be buying more Hofland. I can say that. Mm-hmm. The Geneva, at least. Because they also have a dry style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think, again, it didn't add or detract. I don't think.
With the Esme, I don't think it does it any favors.
Any favors?
Any flavors. I don't.
Well, the Esme is just so lovely with...
I know, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It was a mistake to disturb that balance there.
Yeah, I agree.
But I didn't really notice a big difference. But
I don't like it as much with the tonic.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and
that's one thing the guy said was that it was really good just, pouring a shot in the glass and drinking it that way.
Mm-hmm. I think all of these are fine pouring them in a glass.
Yeah. I know.
True. When, a lot of people think, gin, you always put it, it's like a mixer drink or something. People tend to treat it like that. Mm-hmm. But these are really nice. I don't think they should be disturbed in that manner.
Yeah. Well, which just goes to show you that if someone takes the time and the effort to really try and make a good gin, it's really distinctive and it's really interesting, mm-hmm. like scotch or anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was a fun little adventure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, just to wrap it up, I forgot, I'm Marlis.
Judy.
And John.
And we're saying goodbye for now, but join us next time when we're probably going to be returning to Scotch, but we don't know where from. So.
Yes. All right. Enjoy.